It's great to be with you. It's great to be with you this morning. As Doug says, my name's Matt Carville. I'm one of the leaders of the church, one of the elders. And I think it was a year ago that I was last with you and preaching, so it's a real pleasure to come back. Looking around the room, lots of faces are unfamiliar to me. You might be more familiar with actually the back of my head, because I'm often on the front row on the video at New England site where we record the video of Joel preaching. I'm part of the leadership team there, as well as being one of the leaders in the church. So that's me, and as was mentioned as well, I've just finished my first week of teaching at Long Hill. I think I'm going to go back on Monday, but it has been a long week. I'm a maths teacher there, and so I really kind of feel an affinity with this community as well. I feel like I'm in this part of town with you during the week, if not on Sunday. So it's a pleasure to be able to come and preach to you from God's Word today. And the title of this message is Prayer as Meditation. And Stephen asked me to come and preach this message to you some weeks ago, and to be honest, he's made an excellent choice in asking me to come over, because the observant ones amongst you will notice that I have just come back from, got this jumper from, the Meditation Championship USA participant in your midst right here. And so if there's anyone who's an expert able to talk to you about this subject of meditation, it is me. So there you go. Meditation Championship actually doesn't exist. I knew I was going to do this message, and I was in H&M, and there was this jumper. I got it from H&M, $14.99, and so I thought, perfect, I'll buy that. But I really don't understand why H&M would produce a jumper like this with their Meditation Championship, but I thought it was too good an opportunity to miss, and so I bought it. I think it's so bizarre, and particularly where it's got a parrot on it, I don't know either. But it's such a bizarre thing, because I think when we think about meditation, we kind of think about something kind of like maybe spooky, spiritual, kind of out there, kind of ethereal. And maybe the thing that we're going for is that it's kind of be funny, because having it as a competition, a championship, a sporting event almost, that would just be, doesn't really make any sense. I think when we have this idea of meditation, I'll get onto what the Bible says about it in a minute as well. That's what we're here for. But this meditation as a championship, maybe that's a silly idea. But actually, I think if there was a championship of meditation, it probably would be held in Brighton, wouldn't it? Because actually, I think this is something, meditation and different ways of doing it, different practices, is probably something that occurs in Brighton more than any other part of the UK. Actually, I think Brighton is a city that's very in touch with spirituality and goes about it in different ways. And maybe you're familiar with some forms of meditation. Actually, when you look into it, almost every type of spirituality and even religion has meditation as part of it. It maybe looks different in different religions, but even, including Christianity, meditation is a practice that lots of different religious people do. Maybe you know about transcendental meditation, more popular in the 60s with the Beatles and the Maharishi and that sort of thing. Maybe that's not one of the type of meditation that's particularly popular anymore. One of the techniques of meditation that I've come across or known about more recently, and I think is becoming more popular in the culture that we live in, and maybe you're familiar with, is meditation for mindfulness. I don't know if you come across this idea of mindfulness recently. It seems to be picking up momentum, seems to be becoming more popular. You can even get, I saw this a few weeks ago, coloring in books for adults called Coloring In for Mindfulness. Quite a bizarre idea. But I think what it's all about is that it's a technique in order to relieve stress and anxiety in your life. And I think one of the reasons why it's becoming more popular, and if you haven't come across mindfulness yet, you probably will quite soon, is that we just live in a culture that is so more and more, the pace of life is speeding up. Through technology, we have constant access to information and communication. It's ongoing all the time. I think people are really starting to feel a need to just unplug, to take a step back from all those things, to get some space. And mindfulness, the technique of mindfulness, aims to try and do that. It's actually something that I have done, tried it out, okay? Because people say it's not a spiritual thing at all. And let me just say that front and center here. If we are thinking, okay, as a Christian or someone who follows Jesus, should I meditate in the ways that other religions meditate? And if it says it in the Bible, it's a good thing. Maybe should I do it as well? Well, actually, any way that, any idea that it takes us away from being founded on Christ, the Bible says that's not a good thing, okay? We shouldn't be deceived, it says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. But any other that's founded not on Christ is going to be unhelpful to us. But other types of meditation, well, should we, this mindfulness meditation, all you do is you kind of try and focus on your breathing, apparently. This technique, becoming more popular, you sit down, comfortable place, and any thoughts that come into your head, just you try and block them out and concentrate on your breathing and try and essentially think of nothing. Okay, that's this technique that is becoming more and more popular. Is that the same as biblical meditation? Well, no. Let's get into the passage here. We're going to look at the first psalm. The words will come up on the screen here, hopefully, as well. I'll read it out because it talks about what it is, according to the Bible, to meditate. It says this, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight," this blessed man, "his delight is in the law," or instruction, "of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." And it goes on, "He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Let me just pray for us as we get into this passage. Father God, I so thank you that you have given us your word so that we can get to know you. And I thank you, Lord, for every single person in this room here this morning. Thank you that you know their situation, you know their life, you know exactly what they're like. And Lord, I thank you that you want to speak a word today that is going to be relevant to them, it's going to encourage each one of us, and it's going to draw us closer to you, even if we're starting from a point today that is far from you, we feel, that by hearing your word, Lord, we can draw close to you. Come, Holy Spirit, and make alive in us your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Whether we're a Christian or not, as I've said in my kind of introduction words there, I think we need to take a step back from the pace of life that we live in. I'm not surprised that different people are coming up with different techniques to de-stress, because we need it. We need it. We live in a very fast-paced world, and we need to do something in order to relieve ourselves of anxiety. And many people do it in different ways. Maybe some people, practice these techniques like mindfulness. Maybe it's going down the pub. Okay, maybe it's watching TV for hours and hours, okay? And just trying to blank out the other things in life that are maybe causing us stress and anxiety. And let's be honest, I don't think in one sense there's anything particularly wrong with this technique of mindfulness meditation. Okay? Because we need to take a break. We need to take a break. Okay? And maybe the things that are going on in our head are things that, the latest celebrity gossip maybe. or who's going to win X Factor, or, you know, what are the latest football scores or the football transfers? Maybe if those are the things that are causing us to, you know, just our heads full of them, maybe just taking some time out to try and ignore them, that's a good thing, that's fine. But let's be honest, those kind of everyday simple things, maybe frivolous things, are not the only things that cause us stress and anxiety. And what I want to say today is the meditation that the Bible talks about is infinitely better. And even those practices might be okay. I'm saying to you, should, as a Christian, should you do them? No. No, not at all. And the reason that we shouldn't do them is, for example, the same reason that when I'm at home, I don't eat my dinner with a plastic fork. You know, when I've got something better, why would I do that? Okay? And what the Bible offers us in meditating on God's word and meditating on who he is infinitely better. Because these things that cause us stress and anxiety, they're real. They are, maybe, to give some examples, maybe the things that we're worried about is our children. Maybe we're worried about how they're getting on in school, or maybe we're worried that they might get on well. Maybe we're looking after a relative and we're worried about how long we have left with them. Maybe we're worried about a relationship that we have and we're wondering what the future is going to be, whether it's going to work out or not. Maybe we're in a place of suffering. Physical, emotional, whatever it might be. These are real things that we all go through. And if we're all facing them, we all have to have something that we turn to help us through. And that's why different people come up with these different techniques, meditation or whatever it is. Because all of us have these issues and suffering. And actually, the Bible doesn't promise anywhere that if you're a Christian that you're immune to the things that go on in life. Okay? So it's not a question of whether we're going to face difficulty or suffering or things that will cause us stress and anxiety. The question is, how are we going to respond to it? And the world wants to tell you that the way we should respond to it is just be introspective. Just kind of try and block those thoughts out and focus on nothing and find a sort of sense of inner peace. But the problem with that is that our situation doesn't change. Those things that are causing us worry and anxiety are still there. The situation hasn't changed. We might receive some temporary relief from it for maybe half an hour or even a day or a week by just trying to block things out. But the situation doesn't change. But when we meditate on who God is, when we open our Bibles and we start to fill our minds with the reality of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us, what happens is that reality of God starts to overwhelm all those other things that we thought were so big in our head and are so the weight of them. Okay? See the difference there? We're not trying to just block those things out. Instead of being overwhelmed with the things that are causing us stress, we're suddenly focusing ourselves on being overwhelmed with God, who can do something about all those things. Okay? So biblical meditation is not about being introspective. It's about getting God's perspective on our lives, on our situation. And when we get God's perspective, we realize what's important, and we realize about a God who promises to heal and promises to comfort us in a place of suffering. He might not change the situation in a moment, but he's there with us. And when we know that reality in a place of difficulty and suffering, everything changes for us. When we know a God who loves us and accepts us, even in a place of difficulty, that changes everything. And that's what the Bible, that's what God offers us. This is a series, well, it's the last actually in this series on prayer. And you might think, okay, I'm starting talking about the Bible and reading the Bible. What I'm talking about is prayerfully considering God's truth that is in the Bible. Because I don't know if you're familiar with the Bible, but essentially what the Bible is God's revelation of his character, of who he is. That actually comes out on every single page. I know sometimes we might have approached the Bible and started reading it and think, this doesn't really make much sense. And I'll get on to how we deal with that in a moment. But I want to really underline to you that every page of the Bible is God's revelation to us. God has chosen to make himself known to us. I mean, we could spend the rest of this morning just thinking about how incredible that is, that the God that made the universe, made everything, the Bible says that he sustains it just by his word, okay? He has decided that he wants you to get to know him. And the primary way that he has done that is by revealing himself through people's stories, through people's real lives, and through the words that are written down in the Bible. And so every time we open the Bible and every time we prayerfully consider what it says to us, God is speaking to us, because the Bible is unlike any other book that you will read. It's different in that, in a very special way, it's a book that is alive, that the Holy Spirit speaks through it to us, that we can encounter God. We can have a conversation with God. We can get to know his voice through reading the words of the Bible. And that's my encouragement to you today. To, like this psalm says, if you want to be blessed in this life, if you want to be happy, if you want to know favor, take hold of the Bible. Because when we open it and when we read it and when we get to know God, and when we get to know God, we start to become like him. It changes us. You know, that's something that happens in any relationship that we have. The more time you spend with someone, the things that they do and say rub off on you. You know, if you're married to someone, you spend a lot of your time with them, you soon realize that you pick up little things that they say. When I'm at home, I'm constantly making sort of stupid comments and silly jokes and sort of dad jokes and that sort of thing. And one of the things that gives me delight in life is when Catherine, my wife, inadvertently, kind of almost against her will, just will say something or respond something in a way that I would. Say some silly joke or something like that. And she doesn't even realize she's doing it, but she's just picked it up from me. You know, from her, you know, her sort of kindness and gentleness and her humility slowly rubs off on me, and she gets some jokes from me, and that's the way it works. But when you spend time with someone, you pick up their attitudes. You pick up the things that they think are important. And when we read the Bible, we start to get that from God. We start to pick up his attitudes. We start to get his perspective on what life's all about. And his priorities start to become our priorities. That's what goes on. Okay? So that's why Christian meditation is better, and why it's an important, and why we should do it. And there's an invitation for all of us to do it, even if you're not a Christian up to this point. The invitation is there for you, and I'll get on to that more before we finish this morning. But the second thing I want to say is, how do we do it then? Okay, I'm encouraging you to prayerfully read the Bible and meditate on it, but maybe this is something that's very new to you. How do you do it? Well, firstly, the first thing I want to say about it is, before you read the Bible, pray and ask God to speak to you. Sometimes, I think especially if you've been a Christian for a long time, you can get, maybe Bible readings become part of your routine, which is a good routine to be in, but sometimes we go straight in and we start reading the Bible, and we've not really got ourselves ready to hear from God. And actually, a simple prayer before starting reading the Bible: God, help me to hear your voice today. Help me to understand what you have to say to me today. That is a great place to start. And secondly, I want to just demonstrate it to you. I could try and describe how to do it, one technique. Now, what I'll go on to say is, there are numerous techniques of doing this, meditating on God's word, his instruction. But let me just illustrate one way of doing it for you. Rather than describe it, I thought I'd just do it, and you can see what it's like. What I'm going to do is, I'm going to read through the Bible, but instead of just kind of reading through it and going verse by verse, I'm just going to read it slowly, and then I'm going to pray. Use each verse to pray back to God, and include what's going on in my life. Let me do it. Okay? It might look like this. I'm going to use the words that we were already looking at. Blessed is the man. God, thank you that you want me to be blessed. Thank you that you want me to be happy, and that can come from you. Who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Lord God, today I need your help to follow you. There's going to be temptations either side, and I want to follow you today. Help me by the Holy Spirit. Goes on to say, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Lord God, in my workplace this week, I know I'm going to be the only Christian. And those around me don't know you. And I want to pray for them. I want to pray that even the light of the gospel you've put in my life might shine out to them, that they could go from a place of being a sinner and a scoffer when it comes to you to getting to know you for themselves. Goes on, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Lord God, I want to know you more, but I find it difficult to read the Bible. And so I want to ask for your help and strength and motivation and encouragement by the Spirit to get before you each day. Help me this week to do that, Lord. In Jesus' name. Okay, and you can go through chapters or even just take one verse and spend some more time just on that verse. Use the verses of Scripture to fuel your prayer life. That's what meditation is all about. Now, notice what I was doing there. I was relating what the Bible says to what's going on in my life. Sometimes when we maybe approach the Bible or approach spiritual things, we think, okay, my spiritual life, I've got to pray in a certain way or use certain words or make sure my prayer is, you know, theologically all matched up and that sort of thing. And we have our kind of spiritual head on, and actually all the situation that is going on in our lives right now, we kind of leave at the door. And I don't think there's anywhere in the Bible that God invites us to do that. In fact, God knows us. He knows our life. He knows exactly the situation that we are in. And actually, I think what can be much more powerful is that when we read the Bible, we start praying and we start applying the Bible to the situation we're in, just like I was doing it. Because God doesn't just have things to say in general. He does have things to say in general that he wants to say to the whole world, but also he wants to speak directly into our situation. As you get into reading the Bible, you'll find that as you bring yourself, oh Lord, God, I'm really tired today, okay? But the words of the Bible can still speak to us and still change us, and it becomes much more real to us. Don't be afraid to bring exactly how you are when you come to pray or come to read the Bible. Maybe by being honest with God, you're opening yourself up more so that you can hear more specifically from him. Okay? And also, as you've done that, and as I kind of illustrate there, pray for help. Pray for help to obey God, because once God starts speaking to you, as I've said, when we get to know God, he changes us. There are going to be things in our lives that he wants to change. And that can sometimes be difficult. Sometimes we're set in our ways and God wants to put our finger on something and say, this is, I want you to change in this area. Pray for help, even when it's challenging. That's one way to do it. What I want to underline today is that any way that you're engaging with God's word and bringing it into your life is a way of meditating on God's instruction. Okay, that's one way. Another way, let me just list a few ways now. Memorizing scripture. Memorizing scripture. This can be such a powerful way to get God's truth into your life. You know, one of the passages in the Bible that kind of really illustrates this really well is when Jesus is in the desert, just after his baptism. He's in the desert and the Bible says he's been tempted by Satan, by the devil. Okay, and Satan comes up to him and it's kind of a moment of weakness. Jesus has been praying and fasting in the desert. And Satan comes and says, you know, make these stones into bread. Or he says, throw yourself down from this high tower and you'll be rescued. Or even bow down to Satan himself. Now, Jesus' response is instant and it's powerful. And each response comes from the words of Scripture. He says, it is written. You know, when Satan comes to Jesus and says, make these loaves into bread. Now, I don't imagine Jesus is there thinking, oh, I'm sure the Scripture says something about bread. And he's kind of gets his scroll out and starts leafing through. No, it's there. It's there. You know, man should not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the Father. He knows that it's in him, and he's able to withstand and stay strong and resist temptation because it's right there. And this is something I want to encourage all of us to do. Maybe you've not done it before. Maybe you've not taken any steps to memorize some of Scripture, but it can be so helpful in any circumstance that you're in. You know, maybe you're in a situation that at work or at home, and you're tempted to be anxious and you're worried about a situation. What does the Bible say? Do not be anxious about anything, but through prayer and supplication, make your requests known to the Lord. Okay, wait a minute. I'm feeling I'm starting to be anxious. There's nothing wrong with that temptation. It comes, okay? There are things going to make us anxious. But how do we respond? No, it's in me. I'll make my requests known to the Lord. And we take that feeling of anxiety and we start praying. And we start, instead of just going around in my head, I'm worried about this. What happens if this happens? No, bring it to God. And then the Bible says, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And we start getting into a place of peace through God's word. What a powerful tool to have in life. Not just ignoring circumstance, facing up to it, but thinking, no, actually, I can bring this to God. I can receive his peace in this moment. Okay? A few other techniques. I would encourage you to read books that help you understand the Bible as well. Okay, this at the start of this academic year, September, summer holidays are done. It's kind of a new start. This is a great time to sort of get some new book or start a new chapter in the Bible or a new book in the Bible and start afresh. Okay, at the minute, I'm just by way of illustration, I'm reading through this book. This is Phil Moore's commentary on the Psalms. And so each day I come to this, and it's just a couple of pages where he introduces the psalm, has a few little reflections on it, and then there's the chapters to read. And I find that's a so helpful way of just structuring my time reading the Bible. And I find that I have to change it quite regularly. Through the year, I might read one of these books, and then other times I've got a reading plan on my phone. And I'll do that for a bit and then do something different. Change it up quite a lot. Keep it fresh because finding different ways, there's no one way to read the Bible, okay? Any way that you find helpful, use that for a while. If that feels starting to get into a routine, do something different. Use whatever way you can. Maybe you find reading difficult. Get an audio Bible. You can download them. Different ways that just gets God's word into your life. You know, that's one of the reasons why every time that we come and gather here on a Sunday, we sing songs, and we sometimes, often will sing the same songs or similar songs that we sung last week. Okay? But it's because that truth is still true today, and we can so easily forget it. And actually, as a community, we come together to take hold in a fresh way for this week the truth of who God is and what he has done for us. And often when we're even singing those songs of worship, and I don't know if you've been in this situation, you sing that song of worship, and then so helpfully often the worship leader will say, oh, let's sing that verse again. And you're like, yeah, let's sing that verse again, because the first time I was singing it, I wasn't really even thinking about what I was singing, let's be honest. Sometimes we just get into the way of doing it. Oh, I'm singing these songs. I'm familiar with this tune or whatever. Okay, now when we sing that again, we start to think about it. We start to think about what God's done. That is meditation as well. We're considering what God has done for us. And we can do it wherever we are. We do it here on a Sunday. We do it in our small groups. You can do it on the bus or on the way to work or when you're at home. Any way that you're taking hold of God's word and thinking, what does this mean to me? What might God be saying to me? Okay. Before we close, I want to talk about the effects. What are the effects of this? If we do this, if we take some small steps forward today, what might the effects be? Well, this passage gives us some clues. Because it says, the blessed man, the one that is happy, he delights himself in God's word, and he meditates on it, he thinks about it. And then in verse 3 it says, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. The consequences when we take time to be in God's word is fruitfulness, spiritual fruitfulness. Every time, okay, I don't know many in this room, I don't know your walk with the Lord or if you've got one at all, but what I do know is that any time you read the Bible and think about what it says and engage with God, what you are doing, it's like you are pushing the roots of your life further into God and His character. Okay? It might not feel like when you've sat down and read the Bible that you've had an amazing spiritual time, that you really felt God speak to your heart and you're really blown away by Him. Now, sometimes we do. Other times we don't. Okay? But whether we feel it or not, anytime we inform ourselves and inform our lives by God's word, our roots are going down into Him. And when our roots are founded in Him, what happens is that spiritual fruit comes as a result. And that is so important, especially when situations are difficult. This passage goes on to talk about the wind in life that can blow on us. And I've talked already of the fact that all of us are going to go through difficult seasons and suffering. In fact, for Catherine and I, my wife, earlier at the start of this year, quite unexpectedly, we went through a period, a few months of suffering. And it's at those times that if you're a Christian, you really kind of, the temptation comes to question what God's like. Okay? When difficulties come, you think, God, how could you let this happen? Do you really love me? Do you really care about me? If you let this happen, does that mean you're ignoring me, or you're not interested anymore, or you're even not there? All those temptations will come. But if we've taken those steps to root ourselves in who God is, we know the promises. We can look at the situation, but we don't just look at it and just see that situation. We see, okay, that's a difficult situation that I'm in right now, but I also know through years of being in this book that God's promises are still true, that He still is working for my good in every situation, that He still has plans for my life, that He still loves me and He gave His Son for me. And He still answers my prayers. And you start to realize that you get that patience that you need through trials. And you get faith in the face of suffering. And you get wisdom when you're at a crossroads and worried. And you might not even realize it that it's happening when you're reading the Bible. You know, sometimes, let's be honest, we read the Bible and we don't feel that it's really thrilling. You know, we've sat down, maybe we've read some, especially in the Old Testament. It is more difficult to get into and understand. But let me use this by way of illustration. In one sense, not in every sense, but in one sense, it's like this. When you're on a plane at the beginning of a flight, every flight you've ever been on, there's that safety instruction. You know, they go through the information. Safety information. And sometimes when you're on one of those big airlines, they kind of jazz it up a little bit and have a little video with some funky music or whatever. But whichever way they do it, it's not that thrilling. You know, you're off on holiday or whatever, you're waiting to get there, you have to sit through the safety thing. Okay, whatever. But actually, if the plane started to go down, if there was an issue at some point during that flight, whether you knew that information is suddenly incredibly important. Life or death important. And the question is, where are your roots? What information do you know that when those difficulties come, when things in your life start to go south, Okay? Do you know the character of God? Do you know what he's like? And actually, knowing what God's like, it really only comes from daily getting to know him through his word by the power of his spirit. There's no shortcut to it. We might, a lot of times through the scripture, it talks about people are tempted to envy the wicked. Envy those who don't know God because it seems that their lives are going better than those following God. And there's a temptation to look at other people around us and think, their life is going really well. I seem to be struggling here. I'm trying to follow God, but why is my life so difficult and their life is so great, it seems? But let's be honest, all of us face this wind that comes on our lives. Difficulty, circumstances that can happen in a moment. And when that happens, our foundations become exposed. What we really trust in, who we really know, becomes exposed. And if all we've been trying to do is, if we put all our hope in that career or that having that money or even putting our hope in our family and things going well, if that suddenly something happens to that, that's taken away, our foundations are exposed, and so many people overnight can slip into a place of despair. But those who have rooted themselves in God never need to despair because they fall back on God's grace. They fall back on God's promises. They know what he's like. That is, just to say finally, the most important thing that we get from spending time in God's word and meditating on him. Fellowship with Jesus. The destination of our meditation is Jesus. It's Jesus. Jesus is the true blessed man in this psalm. Because let's be honest, none of us, whether even if we've been a Christian for many years, none of us have taken hold of God's word in a way that we could have done. None of us have really, truly delighted in God's will for us and his word day and night. But Jesus has. Jesus did. Jesus did that through his life. In every way, he followed God's, his Father's instruction. But because he's done that, but yet taken on our sin and taken that to the cross, because he's done that for us, we can have access to God. You know, all the way through, in one sense, I've been presuming on the fact that actually as we read God's word, we get to know God. But that is only possible because Jesus has made a way. John 10 verse 9 says, Jesus says, I am the door. Enter by me and you will be saved. He is the door, the way to having a relationship with God. Let me close with this verse. We have peace with God. This is Romans chapter 5. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There are many things in life that shake us, many things in life that cause us stress and anxiety, and the world, different people are coming up with different techniques of finding some sense of peace, whether it's mindfulness, whether it's going down the pub, whether it's going after goals and ambition. We feel that we're getting to a place of contentment and peace. But the Bible says the only way of lasting peace, we have peace with God, is through Jesus Christ. And the amazing thing is that God invites us to get to know him through Jesus. There is an invitation for each one of us. Whatever has happened in the past, wherever you think your relationship is at with God right now, the invitation through Jesus is still open to you. God wants you to get to know him, and he invites you to do that through his word. And if you've not got a Bible yet, get hold of one. I'm sure we as leaders can get one in your hands. Because God has something to say to you. God cares about your life so much that he wants to shape you and wants to change you and wants to change aspects of your life. Why? Because he just wants everyone in a row? No, because he wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be blessed is the man. Blessed are you. And many people think they have the answer how to do it. But Jesus says, I'm the door. His invitation to you this week and at the start of this term, prayerfully consider God's word and get to know God, the God of the universe, the one who created all things. He wants you to know him. And as speak to anyone who's known God for any period of time, and they say, that is the most blessed thing to have. The greatest gift that you can have in your life is God himself. And he extends that invitation to you today. This is what we'll do forever. Very finally. This is what we'll do forever. If you're a Christian here today, forever we will be worshiping God, because we'll see more and more and more of his character, and that will fuel our worship. Have you ever been worshiping God? Sometimes you, after half an hour, whatever, 20 minutes, you feel like your enthusiasm is waning a little bit. Actually, when we truly see God face to face, we plunge more and more the depths of who he is. We'll never run out of reasons to worship him. And finding out more and more of those reasons of how good God is can start today for you.